I'm shaking.
There he is.
There he is.
Just so you guys know, I've been listening in the last couple minutes.
Oh, my God. Oh, shoot.
Yeah. Okay. 15 minutes starts now. We're on, what are we on here? Google Plus Hangout. We got five participants. Cassandra from Medford, Wisconsin. Chad from Waukesha. Kelsey from Sheboygan. Mark from Greendale, and Tom all the way from London. Good to have you guys. I'm going to start the questions. We're going to do a couple rounds, and then if there's time, we'll open it up to some freelance questions. So, Cassandra, you are on the hot seat.
Okay, first I want to say you still look a little shaggy today, so it looks like you didn't make use of that shaving cream episode yesterday, huh?
Not yet.
My first question is, you always do the photo bombs before each game with the captain's photo, and I'm just wondering, like, how did you come up with that, and what's the whole story behind it? Because I think they're hilarious.
Yeah, they actually started doing that before I was here, and so something I got kind of added into. And when we did it in 2005, it was mostly to just act like we're in the background and not really – and try and just pretend that it was an accident that we got there.
Okay.
As the years kind of went on, I tried to add a little something to it. So every year has kind of gotten a little crazier with the props coming in, from Coach McCarthy's red flag to a camera to, you know, stuff on my ears. Just anything to kind of – the guys really look forward to it. On Fridays, we pass out the captain's photos. If we won the week before, then we have the captains, whoever's captain that week, gets to get a picture frame with the score and their names and stuff. It's a cool deal. And the guys really enjoy looking forward to what was going on in the background.
Yeah. Well, I really enjoy it. So keep it up.
I will. Chad, you're up.
Awesome. Great to meet you virtually here. Wondering, I'm an educator. I'm a teacher. I work with technology.
How I got your bio right here. Let's see. You're at Franklin Public Schools.
Correct, just south of Milwaukee.
I got you. Okay.
So I do a lot with teachers with technology in the classroom, pushing technology forward in education. Wondering for you, how do you personalize learning to yourself? When you want to learn something new, do you go grab a book? Do you search online? Do you use social networks a lot? Kind of talk about the tools and what you use.
When I'm learning football or learning?
Anything you're interested in, or football, or something new that you seek out. How do you personalize learning to yourself?
Well, I think I'm a visual learner, so I like to see it. And that's why in my profession, watching film is kind of the easiest way I can kind of digest information. So when I can see something in front of me, it's kind of how I learn best. So I like stuff written down that I can, you know, check back on later. I do a lot of visualization in my preparation, so I like to see pictures in my mind of the plays that we're going to run, or a picture from practice that I remember, a memory. But I think I'm best, you know, when I can look at something multiple times. I know they say, I can't remember how many times it is, but the more times you look at something, the more it can be ingrained in your memory, and that's kind of how I work intellectually, and that's why the more film study I can put in, the more prepared I feel like I'm going to be on game day.
Awesome. Thank you.
Yep. Kelsey, I know you're nervous, so hopefully your roommates don't come in when you're doing this. I was listening to you. Turn your mute off.
I think you're muted.
Turn your mute off.
Oh, there we go. Can you hear
me? There you are.
All right. Yep. Oops. See, I'm nervous. I don't know what I'm doing.
Are you at Edgewood College right now in Madison?
Okay. That's where I am. It's a good place. So my question is, I know you're really involved in the music industry. So who's your favorite? Well, kind of involved.
Kind of involved. Yeah.
So who's your favorite musical artist, or a few of them, and why?
I like a lot of different styles of music. I kind of get disappointed when you ask somebody what kind of music they like and they say everything, because I think you have an appreciation for everything. But I like indie rock, I'd say, is kind of my favorite genre. That's kind of the style that we've focused on with our record label. Mm-hmm. However, when I was at Cal, Adam Duritz, who's the lead singer of Counting Crows, is a former Cal student, and him and I became buddies. So Counting Crows is one of my favorite bands. grew up in the 90s, so I love Pearl Jam, Eddie Vedder, and Nirvana with some of the stuff I was listening to growing up. Now I like singer-songwriter guys like Matt Kearney, Jack Johnson, Jason Mraz, John Mayer, guys like that. I like anything with an acoustic guitar is always something I enjoy listening to. My pregame list is probably not like other guys' lists. I like to listen to just some slower stuff. I'm not going to listen to the hardcore rap or Metallica, AC/DC. I'm more of a slow jams slash acoustic guitar stuff that kind of get me in the right frame of mind for the pregame. But I have an appreciation for a lot of different kinds of music, but if I'm listening to my iPod, I like to listen to this stuff with a guitar in it.
Very cool.
All right, Mark. You're a physics major at Whitewater?
Yes, yeah. I'm a currently I go to Whitewater, the University of Wisconsin-Whitewater.
Mm-hmm. Good football team.
And great football team. It's nice to brag about that once in a while.
Yep. Go ahead.
So my question is, you are one of the icons of American sports, but we all have some nerdy habits on the side. What's your nerdiest habit? Are you a Star Trek fan? Do you read astronomy blogs, or do you do calculus in your spare time?
None of that, but my father's a real big Star Trek fan. I love those and Star Wars, but I'd say something I do a lot that some people might find nerdy is that I love to watch Jeopardy, and it's on at 6 o'clock on weekdays, and I'm usually parked in front of the TV for 30 minutes watching that. Would love to get on Celebrity Jeopardy at some point. Not sure if I can compete with Cheech Marin, who's been a finalist, surprisingly enough, on a few of those, but Jeopardy is something that I love to watch and try and beat whoever's over the house, getting more answers right.
Cool.
Sweet. All right, Tom, you're up.
Great. As you know, I'm from London, and we all obviously have the wonderful NFL come over here once a year and host a game. So I was just wondering, as an NFL player, does the prospect of playing one game internationally excite like a player like you or players in the NFL? Or because of all the traveling, everyone's just like, oh, I don't know, you know, don't know if I can be bothered with the traveling or anything like that?
I'd love to. I think most guys would love to. We haven't been able to here, and with the kind of atmosphere that we have at Lambeau and how much it means to the fans, I'm sure that the Packers wouldn't give up a home game to go over there, but if we could be a road team and go over there, that'd be incredible. I think all the guys on the team would love to. That'd be a fun week. I think most of the teams go over early in the week, so it'd be fun to be able to spend some days over there and be able to see some of the sights and enjoy the culture over there. I haven't been to Europe before, but I'm a big soccer fan, and on my bucket list is to get over there and watch either Liverpool or Man U or Man City or one of those teams and check them out. Who's your team,
Tottenham.
Tottenham, all right. But yeah, I'd love to get over there. That's a good question. Okay, round two. Cassandra, you're back up.
I think we lost her.
Cassandra, you're fired. Chad, you're up.
I've been very impressed with how you've taken on the role of quarterback, and you seem like you have a very good polished sense when you talk to the camera, whenever you're answering questions, and just seem like a good role model. I was wondering for you, what has inspired you to be such a positive role model to others, to your teammates, to kids?
That's a great question. I think, first and foremost, I had a good modeling from my father about kind of what a role model should be, and he was my biggest role model and still is, just the way that he carries himself and treats my mom and his kids and puts his priorities in the right spot. But I think growing up in the league and being an eighth-year player now, you realize the impact you can have by the way you carry yourself, the way you talk to the media, the way you treat your teammates, the way you play on Sundays, obviously, but the way you you handle yourself and you're a professional. And the opportunities that we get in this league, and especially more since we won the Super Bowl and we've had a lot of success around here in the last 4 years, you have an amazing platform to have an impact on kids and be a role model. I take that very seriously. I think that's kind of the legacy that I want to pass on when I'm done playing is making sure I had an impact in the community here in Green Bay and also to those kids who look up to me. Because I know when I was a kid, I was watching the 49ers, watching Joe Montana, Jerry Rice, Steve Young, those guys. And you pay attention to the way they play, but also what they do off the field. Now, the coverage is obviously a lot different, 1989 to 2012. You have Twitter, you have social media, you have Facebook, you have picture phones, you have, you know, a lot of ways that your likeness and image can be out in the public immediately with the things you're doing. And some of my colleagues in the league, unfortunately, don't realize this and have been in the news for the wrong reason. But in Green Bay, we feel like, at least I do, it's a responsibility to reflect positively back on that organization. Not to mention that when you're out and about and when you're doing things, you're always a representation of, you know, where you came from, the city you came from, your family, your friends, and obviously as well your teammates and coaches and the fans. So I want to conduct myself in a way that the Packer fans can say, hey, I'm proud of that guy. I'm proud to be a fan. And he represents us the right way.
Awesome. As a fan, I totally respect it. Thank you.
You bet, bud. All right, Kelsey, you're back up.
All right. I'm not muted. So my question is, what do you do in the off season to relax or just for fun?
Well, I love to play golf. It's my favorite sport to play other than football. It's obviously very challenging, and I'm not the kind of player I like to be, but I love to play golf and play as often as I can. I have a house down in Southern California, so I love to go to the beach and hike and walk on the beach. Would love to surf a little more than I would, but I have two things going against me. One, it's frowned upon, and two, I have a terrible phobia of sharks. And it doesn't help when you watch Shark Week and see how big those suckers are in the water. I just have this fear that there's somewhere out there, there's a shark just hanging out that's got my name on him, and he's looking for me. And if I'm in the water, he's going to come and get me. So I love to play golf, and then because my love and passion for music, I like to play the guitar as well. So there's a couple guys on the team that play. We get together different points in the off season and during the season and play guitar. So guitar and golf, and then obviously I have a lot of charity responsibilities, and that takes up most of my time.
Very nice.
And Jeopardy. Thanks.
And Jeopardy. All right.
All right, Mark.
Okay. We all have those moments in our career that we wish no one saw, something embarrassing like tripping or running the wrong way. So what is your most embarrassing moment in sports?
That's a tough question. I've had plenty, but you try and forget about those things pretty quickly. I've had just about everything on the field that could possibly happen, from a slipping to letting the ball slip out of your hands to fumbling when no one's around. I was in the preseason 2006. We were playing Jacksonville, and I ran out of the pocket. No, actually, it was Atlanta. I was running out of the pocket, and I was past the line of scrimmage, and I made a pump fake on a guy, and the ball slipped out of my hands, and I fumbled. Everybody saw that. So stuff that people don't see. It's hard because, I mean, honestly, I try and forget about all those things because it's really embarrassing. But I've had a lot of pranks pulled on me over the years. I think because I enjoy, you know, messing with people and pulling pranks in the locker room, you're often the target, as I was yesterday for a shaving cream in the face. I've been the target many times. I've had, obviously, my house has been messed with by some of my teammates. I've had my car... My car messed with, my phone messed with, my helmet. I actually, 2005 when I was a rookie, they took my helmet and put it on the signing table in the locker room where guys put stuff to get signed, like around the holidays. And everybody ended up signing my helmet, and I had to wear it down to practice, so that was kind of embarrassing. But I think in order to have a sense of humor, you have to be able to laugh at yourself sometimes. So there's been a lot of people laughing along with me. All right, Tom, you're up.
Cool.
Many quarterbacks coming to the league now get pushed straight into the deep end. Unlike you, you obviously, you know, you started as a backup quarterback sitting on the bench. Firstly, what are the best moments about being a backup quarterback? And also, do you think it would have helped players like Cam Newton now to sit a couple of seasons on the bench?
That's a good question. I think as a competitor, you want to be on the field right away, so it's tough to sit, but I learned a lot in those 3 years, especially those off seasons. We just went through the playbook really slowly and learned not only our offense, but we studied a lot of tape on defenses and learned how to speak the language of a quarterback, which I think really helps. When you finally get a chance, you can have the conversation with the coaches that you need to. So those off seasons are really important for me. Before this new collective bargaining agreement, we had to be there in early March, so I was there. really for 6 weeks before most of the veterans and the drafted players came in, and those were really important off seasons for me. There's not a lot of really great moments that I can think of. You know, we had a great run in 2007. That was fun to be a part of a 13-3 team and went to the playoffs and beat the Seahawks. I'd say, you know, maybe one of the coolest moments I've had since I've been here was we were playing the Seahawks in the playoffs in 07. Anybody who remembers that game knows it was snowing like crazy, to the point of you couldn't see the five-yard increments on the field, and the sidelines at times were was blurred by the snow and the white lines. And they had to stop the game between the third and fourth quarter to bring out snow blowers and go and snow blow off the five-yard increments. And that was, I remember looking around, the snow was falling, and it was a night game, and just remember thinking how cool that was, and just wishing I was a starter and I was on the field at that point. So how much time do we have? Some time. Yeah, let's do a couple more questions. Anybody got anything?
I've got one I'll gladly ask on behalf of my lovely wife.
Go ahead.
Seeing as Donald took the trophy on Dancing with the Stars, any reality TV series that you'd ever be interested in or doing any of that?
I'm on the greatest reality series going right now, the NFL. So that's the extent of my reality. I've actually, you know, we got to go out there, Clay and I and Coach McCarthy, to watch the semifinals. And Dancing with the Stars, that's a great show. I mean, it was fun to be a part of. To watch it in person. Donald was just, I mean, he's always in great shape, but he looked incredible. You know, he was working long hours to get ready for that show. But that's way out of my personality and comfort zone. So I like to keep my dance moves behind closed doors.
Nice.
All right, I have a question. That's good. Yep. So referring to my picture behind me here, I know you and Clay Matthews seem to be pretty good friends on the field. What's your relationship like off the field? Do you hang out a lot, or?
Yeah, Clay's a good buddy. We spend some time together off the field. He lives in the off season in Southern California, so we get to spend some time out there. We have the same agent, so there's different events during the off season that we get together at. And then during the season we get together for some dinners and stuff. He's a big gamer. He plays a lot of video games when he goes home. I usually have to work every day and often during the night, so. I think he enjoys going home and fishing and playing video games. So I don't see him a whole lot during the season, but other than the stadium. But we are good buddies, yeah, for sure.
I've got a question. It's actually a question of two parts. Firstly, who's got the worst taste in music in the Green Bay locker room? And who's got the worst dress sense in the Green Bay locker room?
Wow. Good question. Worst music sense? You're not supposed to really play music during, like, in the locker room. We had some guys that used to do it, and so we kind of stopped that policy. So what's been going on lately is that some of the guys have brought in some boom boxes and put music on. So when they do that, I go in the back, and I turn on as loud as the speakers will go to drown that out. I turn on the Mexican music channel. So... the guys have been enjoying that. So anybody who puts music on the locker room is usually upset by that. Worst. What was the second part?
Worst dress sense. Who wears the worst clothes and the worst tasting clothes?
It used to be Coach McCarthy, but we used to ride him a little bit. He used to wear it to the Saturday night meetings before the game when he gave us his speech and the final points about the game. It was a hodgepodge of turtlenecks and dress shoes and dress pants. He's actually really improved his fashion sense. I don't know if his wife's been dressing him lately or if he's got somebody to tailor his clothes, but he's actually been dressing really sharp lately. Mark Tauscher was by far the worst, which unfortunately is not with us anymore. But Mark's sense of style, starting with his hair and facial hair on down, was always something I look forward to on the plane. Anybody got anything else? Mark?
Mac or PC?
Mac.
My question was, so there's crazy Packer fans, so who was the nuttiest Packer fan you've ever encountered?
I would, 2000, 8. I was eating in the preseason with a buddy of mine down at Prime Quarter Steakhouse on Oneida, and a guy came over to the table. He was probably slightly intoxicated, but he was going on about how much he, you know, was excited for me. But he's crying. He's like 40 years old. I didn't really know how to. Do you console him there, or do you? I was looking over at my buddy, going, he's got his head down. He's crying, sobbing. I don't. What do you do there? I don't know what you do.
Was he trying to talk to you through his tears?
Yeah, he was trying. He was trying. But oh, that was
interesting. Well, here on the Hangout, Aaron, I'd like to formally apologize for how I acted that night.
I knew I recognized you.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Come on, Kelsey. What else you got?
I've got one more question.
Go.
All right, Tom.
Go. Okay. Did you prefer life pre-Super Bowl, before sort of the fame became big and you were doing all the commercials, or after, where time was, you know, you had less time to probably, you know, to enjoy your private life with all the commercials and, you know, TV publicity and everything like that?
That's a great question. Hard to answer. I think professionally, that's the ultimate goal, is to win the Super Bowl.
Of course.
Privately, I'm a guy that enjoys my separation of my public and private life. I enjoy the times where I can be normal and do the things that I enjoy doing. I wouldn't trade anything for that Super Bowl feeling. So as much as I enjoy my private life, the opportunities I've been given, the responsibilities, the impact I can have is far greater than I ever could have imagined, and that's something that I really enjoy and relish and I'm going to try and make the most of. So definitely a post-Super Bowl life. All right, Kelsey, you're up.
All right. Yay. Okay. Let's see.
What is that on the wall, first of all, behind you?
What, this?
Behind your head.
That?
Yeah, what is that?
I made, I took like a rake and I nailed nails in it, and then I'm hanging bracelets down it.
Okay.
I tried to be crafty. Anyway, so I guess my question would be, what's the biggest mental challenge of the game for you?
Well, there's a lot. I think it's just being able to trust the things that you've watched on film, because you watch a lot of film, you practice, you study your game plan. When you get on the field, you know, the place I'm at in my career, I've played a lot of games and seen a lot of looks. To be able to just trust what you're feeling and trust your feelings and what you're seeing and your reactions is always a constant struggle, because there's just so many things happening in such a short amount of time. I think the difficulty is just making sure that you're playing with confidence, and you play with confidence when you just trust your instincts and trust the things that you've been seeing. So that's probably the week in, week out most difficult thing. And the other thing that's difficult is the weeks after losses, because unlike basketball and baseball, where you're playing a lot of games in a week, you know, we play one game a week. And thankfully, last year we had a lot of wins in a row. But the week after a loss is difficult, because you put so much into each week and so much preparation and time. When you lose a game, you got to hear about it all week, and you just can't wait to get to Sunday. So the Monday through Saturday after a loss is just very difficult days, because you just care about it so much, and you want to get back out there.
Yeah.
Tom, what kind of law are you studying?
General. I mean, I'm studying to become a lawyer rather than studying a certain type of law. That's sort of how it is here in England.
I got you.
just one thing. What's the funniest thing you've ever seen on a football field? Seen or heard?
I've seen a bunch of funny things. I enjoy playing against Brian Urlacher, because you never know what's going to come out of his mouth. I mean, he's a really funny guy. The conversation between us, if we were ever mic'd, would be pretty interesting, because we got a good friendship, and I enjoy playing against him. I have a ton of respect for him.
So did it feel good to tackle him?
It felt great. I can't really call that a good tackle. I was just kind of running fast and trying to get in his way, but that's been great. And there's actually a player we're playing this week named Kelly Gregg, who plays for the Chiefs now. He used to play for the Ravens. And we watched him on film a couple years ago, 2009, and we noticed that after every play, he pulled his pants up. But his pants were all already above his belly button. So every play, pants up like this, and him doing that, that was pretty gay. But you know what? It just brought to mind the best comment I've heard on the field. We were playing the San Francisco 49ers in 2009, and it was a post-Thanksgiving game. And it was a one of those TV timeouts where there's often conversation between the defense and the offense. And Justin Smith, who's a Pro Bowl defensive tackle for them, looks over and goes, "Hey, Sitton." And anybody who knows Josh, Josh's got a little bit of a belly. He goes, "Hey, Sitton, looks like you ate too much Thanksgiving turkey." And the whole offense started dying because Justin's is a big, strong, scary guy and great player. And I think, I mean, to just be able to laugh at each other was so fun for us. And nobody expected him to yell out a joke like that. But that was one of the funnier things I've heard on the field.
With your decision to not tweet during the season last year, are you going to do that again this year? And if so, what goes into that? You making that decision for that?
Well, I enjoy Twitter. I enjoy the interaction with the fans and getting on there. I don't know if anybody enjoys the Jack Handy quotes as much as I do, but I enjoy the Jack Handy quotes and the movie,
I like Jack Handy.
Movie quotes and the interaction with the fans. But it can be addicting. I mean, it's fun to get on there and check in and stuff. I just don't have... I honestly don't have the time to keep up with it during the season, and that's why I just choose to knock it on there.
Sure.
We have a lot of issues here with Twitter, especially in soccer or football. Basically, a lot of footballers have been writing not nice tweets and trying to be prosecuted by their teams. Is there anything in place in the NFL or NFL teams to stop people from making, you know, bad remarks or anything like that on Twitter?
Well, you can get fined for it. You can get fined if you do it... certain hours on game day or when you're at the facility. We have our own regulations within our team. I think what guys don't really understand is that not only can it have a negative impact on your fans when you tweet something negative, but you can inhibit your marketability by sending out tweets that that are going to offend people. A sponsor doesn't want to get behind somebody who's going to be real derogatory or making remarks. And we've seen it with guys. We had a media presentation recently and they put up some tweets on the screen that you just can't believe that guys don't think about what they're putting out there, because once it's out there, it's out there. And a lot of us have a lot of followers, and
we've had a lot of issues here in the UK with that. So.
I've been following some of the stuff that's been out there, because I do watch a lot of the Premier League soccer over there, and I don't understand what people think that there's just no repercussions for negative tweets like
there
that.
There hasn't been until recently. Only recently have has the Football Association actually started fining people or anything like that. Clubs have in the past, but no one sort of up top in the Football Association have really done anything about it until now. Recently, two players got fined quite big amounts, both for sending out tweets that sort of weren't kind, let's say. And so only now has it started to come in, but I think it will definitely control it from now on.
Yeah,
how long ago did they bring in fines and stuff like that into the NFL?
Yeah, we've had it for a couple of years now.
Right.
I always just try and stop and reread it and think about it before I push the the send button. So it's, it can get you in some trouble if you're not smart with it.
Yeah.
Should we ask one of Cassandra's questions since she got bounced off? I've got a question here from her.
Yeah, go ahead.
It says, at work, they have a tailgate party on game day. What would you bring to a tailgate?
Oh, man. I love those, the purple Doritos.
What flavor? What flavor is that?
Yeah,
it's like
grape.
No, it's like spicy chili or sweet chili something.
Okay,
I have purple no Doritos. Idea. You guys
that's a shout
about.
Out.
I've never heard of purple Doritos.
Purple Doritos and anything sweet. I got a big sweet tooth, so
nice.
Ice cream, popsicles, you name it.
Nice.
Great.
Well. Anything else? We're going to wrap it here.
Don't think so.
Okay. Well, I appreciate listening to you guys before I came on, and then also having your questions. You can watch this on Packers.com. Thank you to Cassandra, who's now gone. Chad, Kelsey, Mark, Tom from London. Thank you guys. Enjoyed it, and have a great week. Hope you enjoyed it.
Let's give thank it to Kansas so City this week.
That's right.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.